why Startup Scrappy totally crushes, beats out, destroys Perfectly Executed. Like, I know you all, a lot of you think that. You agree with me when I say that, but you're terrible at living that way or at operating that way in your business or in your professional life. You're hesitating. You're holding back. You're not acting because you've got fear. It's got to be perfect. You've got to understand. You've got to know what's next. You've got to have line of sight to all of that. Yeah, that's not going to work, and it's just going to hold you back in so many ways. I've got a couple stories I want to share with you and talk about why I think you need to lean into Startup Scrappy more. That's what we'll talk about in this episode.
Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
So about a decade ago, I was working in a family business, and this was in the space of association management. So we're talking about the glamorous industry of HOA management. And the company that I was working with, that my brother and his business partner had started, had about, at the time, I want to say, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but my memory recalls that the company had about 400 neighborhoods across Texas that they were managing. And about, I want to say, like 100 employees in the organization. And at that time, I joined, and my job was to grow the company, to take a lot of what I learned in the corporate world and bring it to this business and really help transform it from kind of a, something that was started in my parents' extra bedroom and then transformed into a very successful small company that needed structure and all that sort of stuff. So, well, let me hit pause on that for a moment because I need to introduce myself. So some of you, this is your first episode ever listening. Welcome to the Culture Hacks Podcast. I'm Russ Hill. I use this podcast. By the way, we're celebrating 3 years of these episodes this month. This is the 3-year anniversary of the podcast, which there's no party, there's no event, there's no Zoom meeting scheduled. It's just kind of cool to know that, okay? So at least for me, to nobody else, but it's kind of cool. 3 years, man, that's pretty cool. Been committed to it. So if you go back and listen to episode 1, 7, 25, 42, you'll hear me coming out of a hotel room in Singapore, walking into a meeting in Philadelphia, whatever it might be. I've used this podcast over the years to share observations, learning, experiences that I'm having in hopes that it will bring value to someone somewhere. Now, the country that we happen to have the most listeners in is the U.S. No surprise, right? That's where I'm based. But then Latvia is our second biggest country. And then I think it's Mexico. And I don't remember the rest of the stats according to Spotify, but it's pretty cool. My only point in saying that is the podcast seems to be bringing some value to some of you who are trying to more effectively lead your family, your church group, the team at work, the enterprise, the corporation, whatever the credit may be. And I'm thrilled to death that it's bringing value to you. And if this is your first episode, welcome in. Okay, so about a decade ago, I was working in this family-owned business. And I spent about 3 years in there, and we grew it. We doubled the size of, you know, we went from like 400 associations that the company was managing to getting that to about 900, as I recall. And then the time came for me to leave that and do something else. And that's a whole story in and of itself. But I loved what I was doing, but the time came to change. And if you've listened to some of these episodes, you know that's kind of the routine, the schedule of my life. Every 3 to 5 years, it's on to a new opportunity, something else. It could be in the same company, or it could be in a different industry altogether. So I decided when I was leaving that organization and a family-owned company that we were transitioning from kind of a small company to a mid-sized company with structure and executive teams and policies and all this sort of stuff and moving it beyond just one state into multiple states. Anyway, when I left that, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I didn't have clarity on what the next phase of my life would be. And I'm not a real risk tolerant, real. I don't love a ton of risk. Like some of my friends who are in the real estate space and or private equity space, or whatever, they're taking all of this money and they're leveraging it, betting it. Like, oh man, I can't. I am not wired for that. I just, that's too risky. I really value sleep. So I'd like to, I'm willing to make less and live in a lower income group, if you will, if I can sleep peacefully. And I think I'm going to do a podcast episode in the next few episodes about this, about how I view money now at the age I'm at now versus how I viewed money a decade ago. It's really different. And I've got some experiences lately that I want to share with you that have really opened my eyes. That's another episode, though. So I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was somewhat risk tolerant, right? Leaning into that. Okay, what am I going to do? That's a risky venture, right? That makes some of you very uncomfortable just hearing me talk about it. And yet I'm somewhat risk tolerant, but not crazy on that spectrum. You tracking with me? Okay, so I end up flying to San Diego and auditioning. I didn't even like really know that I was auditioning, but I went to the home of one of the co-founders of the firm that I was being interviewed by, and they had me come and in the home. And when I say house, I want you to picture this is like a multi-million dollar, you know, well over 10,000 square foot home, right? That's what I'm talking about. So a big place. And in the house was a stage, a room with a stage. And I was brought into this room, and on the couch, this big sectional, were different people that were part of this firm. The leader, like the co-founder, and then some of like the CEO, and then some of the people that had the position that I was interviewing for. So they're sitting on the couch. They invite me to come in, stand on the stage in this home and audition, take a few minutes and kind of share my skills facilitating. They'd give me a topic, or I'd picked a topic, I can't remember. So I get on the stage, and right away, you know how this is going to go, right? Like they just destroy me. Like their entire effort is to challenge me, push back, intimidate me, see how I deal with the pressure. And I walked in with tons of confidence. And so I'm standing up on the stage and I go through this audition, and it doesn't go the way I want it to. And they really humbled me quite a bit, really got me off my game to some degree. I leave the house and they tell me, hey, stay in the San Diego area. In the next few hours, we'll call you. There were several people they were meeting with that day, and I think the day before or whatever. And they were going to make a decision who they were going to hire. So we'll call you, stay in the San Diego area, because if we call you and say we want you to come to work for us, we need you to come to the office, get some paperwork filled out, and then you know you're hired. Well, I left. I actually went to the audition, not even caring. I didn't care at all about whether I was hired. I had no real interest in joining this company. It was just interesting. And I had a friend that worked there, and I talked to the CEO on the phone. And it sounded, okay, you know what? I'm going to go explore this. Startup scrappy. Okay. Remember that. We're coming back to it. So I'm just exploring. I'm experimenting. I'm playing in the sandbox. And so, hey, why not do this? Great experience. So I go do it. I walk out thinking, wow, man, that team is arrogant. They're clearly good at what they do. They tested me in ways and evaluated me in ways I had never thought about before. So I think I've got I could learn a lot from this team. They seem like decent people, although, man, they were pretty brutal to me. I walked out and went, screw it. I really don't care if I get hired or not. I stayed around. I think I went to a bookstore or ate some dinner somewhere or whatever it might have been. They called me back and said, you're hired. And so I drove over to the office, and I was frankly surprised by it, filled out some paperwork, and was on the job a few months later. So within a few months, I am in downtown Philly, Philadelphia, and never, I don't think I'd ever been there. Yeah, I'd been there once, but never for work. And so I'm in downtown Philly, and I'm with some of the folks from the firm. We've got a team of us, and we're walking over to a meeting with an executive team of a Fortune 50 company, a name you would recognize. And so we're walking over to a high rise, and we're pulling our suitcases along the sidewalk in busy downtown Philly early in the morning. And we're going over this meeting, and I've been at the firm like a few months, like maybe 2 or 3 months. Like I'm so green. I'm learning so much. Totally new environment. And one of my colleagues says to me, he says, hey, Russ, And I was so new that I'm used to, at this point, sitting in the back of the room, observing the more senior people at the firm. I'm playing like a backup role, a support role at the firm. I'm not out front, right? I'm not a leader. I'm not whatever. I'm a newbie. And so I got no stress going into this day because my job is to sit back in the back of the room, take notes and observe and learn, right? So, you know, I had no stress the night before when we went out to dinner and all that sort of stuff and going to bed in the hotel because I got no role to play tomorrow except for sit in the back of the room and don't be an idiot. Well, so we're walking, pulling our suitcases and heading across downtown Philly to get to this high rise. And one of my colleagues says to me, "Hey, Russ, why don't you start the meeting today?" I'm like, okay, there's you, and you. Like, you've got 15 years at the firm. You've got like 20. You've got like 22. What? And I don't even know like any of the players. And this is a really important meeting. Like, could lead to a multi-million dollar engagement at this company. There's a lot riding on it. And so I don't remember what I said, but it was something like, you sure about that? Like, I don't think you want me to do that. And they're like, no, for sure. We'll be in the back of the room and we're kind of the safety net. Like, we'll make sure you don't fail and, you know, just go where you think the meeting should go. And they knew I had a basic understanding of our structure, kind of how we ran these meetings. But I was by no definition or in nobody's mind was I an expert at it or really even good at it. But they said, why don't you do this? And I've learned in my career that when people put an opportunity like that in front of you, this reminds me back when I worked in the radio business, just a quick aside here, back when I early in my career, so probably like 22 years old, I was working in the radio business and in the same newsroom, this is in Salt Lake City, in the same newsroom, the station was KSL. So I'm working at KSL radio and I'd never done television before, but the TV news director asked me, which is a big deal. That's an executive in a TV station or TV company that carries a lot of weight. They're deciding who's sitting on the 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock news. Who are the reporters? Who are the producers? They're running all of that. And so anyway, I got a call and, hey, Russ, would you be willing to fill in on Saturday and do one of the reporting shifts on Channel 5 on KSL television? I'd never done television before except for like one or two, just a few reports during the LA riots when I was 18 years old, which is a whole nother episode. But I really didn't know what to do with television. And so what was my answer when he called me and asked me that? Like, that's a no-brainer, right? What do you say? Of course. Ready to go. Awesome. And in that particular experience, I remember getting an assignment when I walked into the newsroom that day. I was so nervous. That Saturday morning, I get my assignment from the folks in the newsroom, hey, Russ, go cover this. This is the report we want you to do. We want you live at whatever at 6 o'clock tonight on the 6 o'clock news, and you need to do this. So I go out with a photographer. So, you know, the videographer, whatever you want to call him, we get into the news truck. We're headed out. And I said to him, I said, look, I don't have a clue of what I'm doing. And I agreed to fill in on this and your job, I will follow your direction. You've got tons of years of experience doing this. I know you're not on the other side of the camera, but you know what makes a good reporter. So will you just coach me and make me look good today? Help me know what to do. He was like, for sure. And I did my first television report. So it's the same thing, right? Walking the streets of downtown Philly. The answer is, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll start off the day. And, you know, you kind of mask the, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. You mask that and you just lean into it. Startup scrappy over perfectly executed. I just gained a lot of experience in my life. I am convinced that is the way to go. And so I do that. Well, so now fast forward to 2021 when I'm recording this episode. And within the last few months, in fact, I was having lunch with a friend and he was asking me, this is this week. I was having lunch when I'm recording this. I was having lunch with this friend and he said to me, so when you left the firm, because I went on to join that firm, right? And work with that company. And I've spent almost a decade there. And now I left within the last few months, I left the firm. And for the first time in my life ever, I've never been in the situation before. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't have an employer. I don't work for somebody else. And I am loving it. And there the freedom. And you heard me talk about that in one of the recent episodes about how many people are trapped. And I have felt trapped. I'll just leave it at this. I've felt trapped in certain times in my career. I don't feel that anymore. And that is worth a fortune to me. And I'll share more about that later, because it's going to be a theme kind of mine over the next 6 to 12 months. I can just tell it. And I'm listening to a lot of voices and reading a lot about this idea of being trapped. And I'm thinking that I'm feeling the need, the need to speak up about it and to help a lot of people who feel that way. Okay. So he asked me, this guy at lunch, this friend of mine says, so when you left the firm, like, did you kind of know who the clients were going to be that were going to hire you? And did you know exactly what you were going to be doing? Like, you had that kind of set up and you're ready to go. I'm like, not a clue. Like, I left the firm and I had nothing. There was no client. There was no agreement. There was no income. It was, but because I practiced what I preached in the episode about being trapped, practiced living beneath my means, I knew that I had the freedom to take some time to figure it out. Not like forever, because the mortgage is still due and the other things and kids going to college and all that kind of stuff happening. But I knew I had some time, so I felt the space to do that. And I felt really drawn to this. I knew through impressions that I had that this was the right thing, so I leaned into it. And then within just a few weeks, this organization calls and that leader direct messages me on LinkedIn. And, well, I've never heard of these people before. They call and this people and somebody from way in the past checks, you know, sends me a message. And then I get a phone call from somebody I haven't talked to in 3 years. And suddenly I've got a company and I've got clients and I'm getting on a plane to fly to different cities and I'm on Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever doing these virtual meetings and I'm coaching these different clients and I'm building this content. I'm doing whatever. Startup scrappy. So the takeaway from this episode, I hope, is I'm trying to give you several experiences that would have never happened. I would have never joined the firm that I spent the last however many years at and had incredible experiences with if I wasn't willing to lean into, well, I don't know what this looks like, and I don't have line of sight to the future, and there are more questions than there are answers, and this isn't cleaned and buttoned up and clearly defined, but I just went for it and tried to make smart decisions and put a lot of energy and effort into being successful, and I became very successful, one of the top revenue generators, one of the people with the biggest accounts at our firm when I left. And I don't say that with arrogance. I say it with humility. Like, that, I was so fortunate to be in that situation, and it came because I just leaned into it and figured it out. And on the flights, when I was crisscrossing the country, I rarely watched a movie. I worked. I put my heart and soul into it. I learned everything I can learn. I leaned into everything. I tried to build as many relationships as I could. And that ultimately, then now I leave the firm, I'm in this new life and I'm figuring it out. And when we wrote, just one other quick example, when we wrote the book Remotability last year, it was one of the two books, right, that I had published last year. When some of my colleagues of mine, friends of mine, and I talked about writing that book, because here we are in COVID, the entire world, way we work has changed. We're working with all of these massive corporations and we're in hundreds of virtual meetings and we're seeing all of these things and we're hearing from executives. We're like, man, people could get a lot of value out of hearing what we're observing and learning about how to lead people in this newly remote or virtual or work from home and soon to be hybrid environment. We ought to write about this. And one of the things we talked about when the three of us got together to write it was, well, how perfect does this book have to be? And we decided Startup Scrappy. Just, yeah, instead of writing a book that's got, 400 pages and is the Bible on working remotely, and instead of taking, a year and a half to write it, let's get this thing done in a month. Let's work evenings and weekends and whenever we can and just put this thing together and let's just make it happen. And so we were Startup Scrappy. And within 4 weeks, we had a book for sale on Amazon. Within 4 weeks. And that led to a lot of business with organizations that were reading that and that found a lot of value in it. Startup scrappy. So here's the point. Here's the takeaway. So often, and I'm running into this so much right now with people that I'm coaching, executives that I'm coaching and people that I'm interacting with. What I'm seeing is tons of fear. It has to be perfect. We have to have it clearly defined. What's the path forward? And those are the right questions, right? You want to be thinking about those. But what I've learned, one of the lessons I've learned and that I'm so grateful for is just going. And I just think back to like Amazon. In my experience with Amazon, Jeff Bezos was startup scrappy. We're going to create this everything store, but we're going to start with books. I'm not sure how it's going to work. And we're going to like box them up on our own. And we're just going to start this thing. And then we're going to figure it out as we go. And it became Amazon. And in so much, the greatest frustration, the people who are most frustrated that I interact with are people who tend to be at the largest organizations or in an environment where we aren't startup scrappy. We have to perfectly execute. And there's so much pressure on us to make sure we get it absolutely right, because so much is riding on this decision. And we've got 45,000 people or whatever it is, right, that are leaning on this decision, and it really matters a ton. Yeah, no thanks. I would give anything to not be in that environment. Why? Because I coach people in that environment and they're miserable. A lot of them, not everybody. And why are they? It's because they don't have the ability to be startup scrappy. Startup scrappy destroys, beats, wins every time, in my opinion, over perfectly executed. The first iPhone was nothing like the engineers wanted it to be. It had like 8 apps on it. Startup scrappy. Ship. Go. Lean into it. When you're walking across downtown Philly and somebody says, "Why don't you start today?" The answer is, "Okay, I'll figure it out." That has helped me so much in life. Don't give in to the fear. Don't hesitate. Experiment. I'm doing so many different things right now in this new business. I'm trying a little bit of this. I'm trying a little bit of that. Sure, I'll work with that company. I'm not sure how long or what it will look like, but okay, I'm going to work with that. Oh, this leader? Yeah, I'll lean into that. Okay, and then I'm going to figure it out. And I'm having the time of my life doing it. Because as human beings, I'm convinced we want to take some risks. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to be somewhat uncomfortable. We want to try new things. We don't want to be crippled by the pressure of perfectly executed. Just some things for you to think about in this episode. I hope you're well, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much for listening. Are you getting my emails as well? Every week, I'm writing an article designed to strengthen your ability to lead others. Are you seeing these? If you're not, join the more than 5,000 people who are reading them. They've subscribed for free. Just go to russhill.me. Start getting those weekly leadership articles at russhill.me. At that site, by the way, you can also learn more about my online courses and coaching sprints if you've got interest in that as well. russhill.me.